welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try to answer a question. What happens when a value-priced wine ages? To find that out, they test a 2013 Banffy Gentine versus a 2017 Banffy Gentine to see which one is best. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello, good evening. Glad to be here.
I am also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Tonight, folks, we have an interesting episode where we're going to do something we've never done before. We have two wines, but the same wine, but two different vintages. And what we've done, and we've done this intentionally, without any accident whatsoever, we've bought a 13 and a 17 of a value-priced wine, intentionally. You know, we never bought the 13 first randomly because, you know, for whatever reason, and then said, well, that's pointless. So we went out and bought the 17 to make this show. We wouldn't do that, right, Scott?
Well, except that's kind of exactly sort of what we did.
Well, we as you, but still.
Well, no, we as... the combination of us, we have come up with this.
Whatever less.
Not me.
Not
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. No. Dumb. Yeah, no. You don't want to play this game.
But what we did, though, is made lemonade out of lemons. And we have an interesting idea. You sometimes will do this in tastings where you'll have multiple vintages, normally of good wines that you would want to drink. But this wine,
it's unknown.
It is unknown. Determined. It is unknown, but it is a wine that does have some decent provenance considering the price range. We're talking about $11. And this wine is made by Banffy. Anybody that knows Banffy, A, knows it's Italian. B, knows it's a juggernaut, massive winery. And they make wines all across Italy, but this is their Tuscany series. And this is Sentine Rosso.
Actually, it's pronounced Shintine.
Shintine?
Shintine.
Oh, my God.
And the emphasis is on shin.
Shentine.
Or maybe chen. Chentine.
Chentine. That actually sounds
C-H-E-N.
Right.
C-H-E-N.
Chentine. No wonder Chentine. I found it on the bargain bin. Anyway, Chentine. What? And this is a Sangiovese Cab Merlot blend, 60-20-20.
Okay.
It's on a short amount of French oak. And we have the 13 and the 17 to go through tonight. Interesting. Aren't you excited, Scott?
I'm excited. But we've talked about doing this in our private lives where we've done this with Turley before, where we've had multiple vintages.
We've just drank a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
no, we have done this with Turley before, though.
We have. Yeah. Old Vine, I think. Was it Old Vine or Juvie?
Yeah.
On
Old
your
Vine.
Back deck once.
Probably both. But we didn't set it up like this. We drank a whole bottle of one and then switched over to the next. We never really sat down, had two right next to each other, and said, well, here we go.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to do tonight. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and go through this wine and give you a wonderful educational experience here. No, we're not going to do that. But anyway, we're going to fuck around.
Does it involve mandatory testing?
Oh, you're screwed then.
Damn.
Especially if it's educational testing. Here.
Damn.
On the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at thewinevaultpodcast. And our website is thewinevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters, Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So... we have the 13 and the 17 Shintine from Banffy in Tuscany. Now, Scott would probably refer to this as a super Tuscan. However, this I would just call a Tuscan. There's nothing super about it, really.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know. Maybe it is just super and has a cape, and it's just the best thing ever.
Like Mighty Mouse.
Since Miami.
Maybe it's like the Great American Hero. Remember that that show?
That was awesome.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
You sing that.
Yes, that's daily. True. Ooh, dee, or something like that. Believe it or not, it's just nobody gives a shit. So, someone should have kicked his ass. The guy had like a Jerry curl, the white guy.
It really did.
Yeah. What was his last name? Clatt or something? I don't know. Yeah, he probably was all coked.
I feel like you sing that song on an almost daily basis.
Almost, which means once in a while.
No, it's all the time. I don't even know what it's from, but I know it because of you.
I think if you were coked out, that show would be great to watch.
I think not.
Well, I don't know. Really? You had a bad trip?
No, I'm just thinking that show would be bad to watch under any circumstance now other than for nostalgic purposes.
Perhaps the next thing that's what we try. We've done this. Then we'll try watching that show normal, then coked out. What do you say? No, let's not do that.
Not
okay.
So much.
Okay. So this wine, Centine, I'm going to go over the triple. Centine.
You just are really.
Oh, yeah. Centine. I'm going to go over to Triple B, who has
Centine.
Some very good information about
Chinteen
Tong.
Basically, takes its name from a 19th century farmhouse on the Castillo Banfi Vineyard Estate and represents the gateway to Banfi wines.
Mm. Gateway by this it's is the shittiest stuff that they make?
Gateway drug.
Mm. Then off the coke.
I thought of there you go. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
This entryway is depicted on the label with a winding road lined by cypress trees leading up to the 12th century Castillo.
Ooh, and both. And by the way, the 17 label sucks. I love the 13 label. Oh, Centine. See? It's just classier.
On the printouts, it has the new label on both.
Oh, does it?
Uh-huh.
Well,
I think they're like trying to keep it a secret. It is prettier.
Yeah, it's much prettier.
Yeah. It looks like Numanthia, like the box that we have.
Oh, a little bit, a little
bit.
So
pretty.
Well, it's just more dignified.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
They've placed the name more atop the bottle. Product placement.
And they got rid of that coat of arms, I guess, is what you would call it at the time.
Yeah. It's probably the family coat of arms. Yeah. Probably.
They also lost any distribution in most stores. So,
do we know what IGT means?
Toscana
IGT.
It's the geographic.
Yeah,
it's made in the
geographical typical
of the area.
No, it's not.
Oh
no, IGT separates itself out from like DOCG and whatnot or whatever that is, in the fact that it doesn't necessarily follow the standards because it's blending other Bordeaux-style grapes, perhaps, with it. So it's typical of the area, meaning the fact that it's Sangiovese. However, it doesn't have to follow the norms and go through those, you know, the local commune custom boards, whatever the hell it is. So
sometimes we see that when someone's like, you know, really a unique winemaker and really brilliant, but we also see it when people are trying to make jank wines.
I mean, not Italy. See, IGT is where it gives them the freedom to make a wine like this. Otherwise, you'd be just talking Chianti, Barolo, all that kind of stuff. Where this, you can do a little bit more with. Okay. Although they only do a few things. This is the same, though, essential wine that like Montantico is, or Vidiano, or Santa Cristina. Every winemaker in Italy pretty much has a version of this wine in some fashion.
Okay.
Banfi, though, also makes Col di Sasso, but Col di Sasso is more cab-based with Sangiovese and no Merlot.
Which we enjoyed Col di Sasso a great deal.
We did.
We might have overestimated its ability.
You might have. You might have overestimated it. Yes, that's right. Yes.
We.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my Lord.
No, I knew it was trash. So what else we got on this?
Please.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, so next they talk about the soil, and they say it's calcareous and well-structured.
Mm. Well, I prefer a well-structured soil.
So weird. Anyways, production technique, the grapes are vinified,
Okay.
With a brief maceration for 7 days.
Okay.
When alcoholic and malolactic fermentation are completed, the wine is aged for a short period in barriques of French oak, followed by moderate bottle aging.
Mm-hmm.
And something that the wine guy pointed out is they make it the exact same way in 2013 and 2017. They just copy and pasted.
Basically, it's Banffy. They don't have a lot of, you know.
Hmm. Well, you same know. On the soil. I mean, I guess sure. It's grown in the same place. Bouquet, mm-hmm. luscious berry, and ripe cherry on the nose.
Does it have any fanfare awards?
Allegedly.
Well, hold on. Before we get to that, let's talk about the food pairing. This pisses me off. Particularly versatile. Easy drinking, Chianti Rosso marries with everything.
It's Chianti.
What did I say?
Chianti
Rosso marries with everything. Everything. Exclamation point.
Everything.
Delicious with pasta, grilled and roasted meats, burgers, barbecue, and even spicy seafood dishes. Exclamation point.
Yeah, apparently it does go with everything.
Yes.
That's also copy and pasted with the misspelled word from 2013.
Well, they're Italians. They don't know. Gentile.
It says intense mauve with violet reflections, luscious berry and ripe cherry on the nose are accompanied by lush plum, hints of vanilla and fresh herbs.
Oh.
Yeah. On the palate, soft tannins and great acidity balance out this enticing red.
Oh. Alluring.
I know. Whenever I see a description like this, I get my hopes up.
I don't.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We know enough not to do that. Yes. Oh, no.
What do you think the chances are of it actually having an herbal note?
Chances are...
False. That it's false.
Herbal note?
More than 100% chance it's false.
You have to ask James Suckling. He'll tell you.
Well, I will tell you what James Suckling said. I won't read it in his voice.
You won't read it in my voice.
He gave the 13 91 of his points.
91, that's correct. It was lovely.
The balance to this wine is so delicious.
It is. It's delicious.
With dark berry, black currant, and lightly flowery aromas and flavors.
I have lightly flowery
aromas. Medium body, fine tannins, and a flavorful finish. Tangy and bright.
Some people have said that about... Never mind.
Stop. A beauty, great value, drink now.
Yes. Did it get any other awards?
The
leading question.
Right.
Got many awards.
So it got 87 points from the Sommelier Challenge.
The Sommelier Challenge. Really?
Which gave it, I believe, a silver medal.
Silver medal. Thank you for repeating. So it can melt that down and fight off what? Werewolves with that?
Werewolves.
Yes.
Werewolves over London.
Then at the Riverside International Wine Competition.
Riverside? It's just
bringing in the awards.
Yes.
It received a unanimous gold in the chairman's award.
Ooh.
Best of class, brightly fruited with raspberry and boysenberry.
I
have a question. If all these say drink now in 2013 and we're drinking it 6 years later.
Yes. You'd be a dumbass to buy it, wouldn't you?
What are you gonna do?
I'm just now putting all the pieces together. Remember, it's daylight savings time. It's been a rough week.
You remember how you said one time that some fucker gets shit out of the frozen food aisle in shopping carts? That's what the 13 was. Yes, mm-hmm. In a shopping cart.
It wasn't in frozen food aisle.
Well, eventually made it that way.
It was in the produce section just before you walked in the wine section.
Riverside International Wine Competition.
Right. Basically, I've heard of that.
You have to put international next to anything. Like, It got a silver medal from the Los Angeles International Wine Competition.
And this is the International Wine Vault Show.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we are very international.
89 from the San Diego Wine Challenge.
That's not international, though.
No, it wasn't. It was just in San Diego.
Also, I just think they ran out of space when they were describing it.
That's why I got a higher score, 89, because they're just judging it within San Diego.
I will say that 91 points didn't come from James Suckling. It came from jamessuckling.com.
That's my website. Yes, where I do a lot of cam work on the website.
That's gross.
Yes. Yes. And 87 also from Critics Challenge. Interesting.
Not international. No. And the worst score.
Where did you find all these?
It was on Banffy's website, man. They say, man, they want everybody to know that shit. Yes. The Critics Challenge. I challenged Tim Atkins.
And yes, we mock Griffon's website, and these muffins are putting Riverside International.
Hey, you got it, man. Put it up there.
Can we talk about the 2017?
Sure.
Wow.
James Suckling gave it a 90.
I did.
A fruity and fresh red that shows raspberry full.
What? So?
F-O-O-L?
Fool.
Raspberry, yes. Fool.
Yes. Raspberry fool. Aren't you familiar with that French term?
Right. Strawberries and cranberries. Light to medium body. What did he say in the other one? Oh, he just said medium body. Fine tannins and a bright finish. Drink now.
Drink now.
So again, 2 years later.
Yes.
And then Wine Spectator gave it a 90.
Yes.
High-pitched cherry.
Yes.
And strawberry fruit is accented by wild herb, licorice, and spice notes, all backed by a solid spine of tannins and juicy acidity. Holds together well through the long finish. Sangiovese, Cab, and Merlot. Drink now through 2028. That description sounds delightful.
And that's a long time for Centine. 2028, man. That's just like...
Yeah, 12 years.
That's a long time. That's the
first $10 blend.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That's...
Wine Guy also printed out quite a few other medals and awards.
You see, you could download it into an Excel spreadsheet from Banffy's website.
So I don't know if there was a mistake when you downloaded it, but it's received 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 zeros. Do you see it?
It's a strong score. I think those are medals.
It's a zero gold medal.
There you go.
Well, some of them say 94 gold medal.
Yes, they doubled up the score.
So funny. Zero chairman's award.
Zero times two is 90.
Yes.
There you go.
Aggregate score.
There's the explanation for the James Suckling scale.
Those bastards. They never invited me to the Critics Challenge. I was like, damn it. And I never got invited to the San Diego Wine Challenge.
But
damn it.
From the, 2011 on, it's been decently in the 90s. Minus the Critics Challenge, who gave it an 87.
The Riverside International Wine Competition invited me.
Something said, best of something, LA, they gave it a 94. Best of Tuscany gave it a 94.
Have you ever been those places?
I don't know, but...
Best of Tuscany is actually
reading.
In Camden, New Jersey.
Right.
So what? They're Italian. So, which one do we want to start with first? Do we think?
13, right?
The 13? Well, let's do the 17 first.
The younger one.
The younger one. Yes, the Reserva. The second one is the Centine Reserva.
Let's go through the whole process side by side.
Are we going to drink the Centine or the Centine?
Centine. First of all...
We're going with the 17?
Yes, 17 first. They both look exactly the same.
Yeah, there's no optical difference between the two.
And we'll do the noses.
Okay, 17 first?
17 first. Blackberry, mineral streak, somewhat closed.
Like a bit of savory fruit in there. Prune, maybe?
Yeah, definitely prune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Berry like that for blackberry, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah. It doesn't have a lot of on the nose is alcohol. It doesn't have even a hint of a mentholated alcohol streak.
I don't really get any oak either.
No?
No, but there is a touch of vanilla, which is attributable to that, and maybe a slight, slight, slight whiff of violets.
Floral element.
Well, violets.
What is a violet?
Nobody grows violets. They're weeds. I mean, they're weeds.
So it has a weed element.
It has a fucking weed in it. No, it's a lovely weed, but it's still a weed. Yes.
So when you say that, you don't mean it as a compliment.
Well, I do, but still. Let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. Now on to the 13.
Okay.
Closed nose.
Yeah.
You smell the raisin.
Maybe chocolate.
Chocolate and raisin. Chocolate covered raisin. You can definitely smell a swell. It's the sweet prune. Yes. Then turns into a chocolatey sweet prune.
What's the it has another smell to it. Something herbal.
Almost grassy.
There.
It's like a sweet herbal smell, and I can't figure out what it is.
Well, it does have a sweet, also, there's a sweet vanilla.
Sweet something, yeah.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Sweet vanilla for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So they both have that little hint of vanilla, which is really the only showing of oak to mm-hmm. the nose. Mm-hmm. They're both kind of softer noses. Mm-hmm. They're interesting noses for a crappy little $10 wine.
We don't know that it's crappy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it might be, but although, I mean, it's once again, it's Banffy.
Yeah.
It's
mass produced. You can get this everywhere.
What? No, you can't.
$12.
We had a hell of a time. We had a hell of a time finding the 17.
But Banffy, you can get Banffy products.
Something
anywhere.
From Banffy, yes. So let's go in. Let's do the 17 here.
If you went to Kroger and shopped the clearance rack, would you be able to find it?
No, we couldn't find the Centine anymore.
No. Oh. Nobody's carrying it anymore. Giant Eagle used to. All right.
Tasting? I drank the wrong one.
You taste an awful lot of the Sangiovese there. A little bit of cherry, sun-dried tomato. There's herbal mid-palate. What is that, thyme?
So it's something like that.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of spice lingers through the finish, which is nice.
Tannins.
Yeah, there is some tannin there.
Mm-hmm. And then the oak at the end.
It's a pleasing little drink. It has this, has the sweet, bright fruit. And you, one of the reviews mentioned a juicy acidity, I think it called it.
Yeah.
There's a little acidity to this.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's pleasant.
Yeah. It's a good wine.
It really is. This is well done. Bravo.
Cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how they said like it pairs with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I'm trying to imagine drinking it with everything and what it would and wouldn't go with. I'm not a real big like burger and glass of wine person.
No.
I think that's weird. But I do feel like there is a lot you could eat with this.
Yeah,
it's a very pleasing wine.
I think because
of
this little acidity and the it's a relatively sweeter profile. It's not a sweet wine by any means.
No.
But I think it would do well with a slightly spicy food.
I could see that.
Just the bright acidity and just it's a cheery wine. Cheerio.
Last night for dinner, I roasted tomatoes with a little olive oil, a little bit of basil, like you.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the food processor.
Okay.
Then onion. Cook that down in the L'Aquaset. Threw the tomato mixture in there.
Assisted by?
William.
Oh.
He pressed the button.
Very nice.
Seared off pork tenderloins.
Mm.
Put them in the pot. Filled it up. Beef stock. 225 for 4.5 hours.
That's delightful.
Yes. It was very delightful. Then I took that stock and I sauteed mushrooms, added the stock into the mushrooms. So you put a heaping pile of the ooey gooey pork tenderloin, spoon of the sauce, and then the mushrooms on the side. And this would be great with it. We did the Sasso Primitivo with it.
Right.
Which it was wonderful. But this is be a very good choice as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I love I normally love a strong tannin, but I love that this is just very lightly tannic.
Yeah.
I think that's just a nice little perk and bonus of it. Very good.
And you can tell it's Sangiovese based. I mean, that
because
is...
Because of why?
The leaner mouthfeel.
Yeah.
It's a little linear, and it has a little bit of the cherry acidity carrying through the mid palate, and that's Sangiovese all day long. And then the spicy finish is Sangiovese.
Mm-hmm. It was Suckling that said lighter to mediumish body.
Yeah.
I did say that, yes.
James, you are spot on.
Holy shit. Yes. I knew that.
What does the Merlot bring to this?
Astringency. It just depends on, but it depends on the Merlot itself.
Right.
I mean, I would suggest it just is adding structure. I don't pick it up as much.
Right.
It could be where that grassiness on the nose came from. It could be that's where the little
spiciness comes from. It's actually a little bit of mouthfeel. Mm. So if you drink it and think of Merlot, you'll notice kind of the way a Merlot kind of comes across, but a leaner Merlot. Because you do have a little astringency in the mid palate.
Yeah.
I think particularly if you pull and hit it hard with air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when the astringency shows. You know, what I don't really see is why the speculator thought this, you could hold this till 2028.
Yeah. I don't know. You could buy one and find out, I guess.
I don't know what this would be in 9 years.
Why are they saying all those Chiantes? I mean, the Chianti, they're on the Chianti kick right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. 2036 on some of these things, man. It's crazy. But Sangiovese, we've done Brunellos. We've done old Brunellos before. What was it? What's up there? The Vitanza. Was it 05 or 04?
Something like that.
It was 15 years old. And it's a different wine then. Some of how old Bordeaux is, although fresh young Bordeaux is the same damn way. But the minerality is really the focus. So.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the Italian wines show a little less than a French wine would show with the aging. Mm-hmm. They're more simpler at that point in time.
Yeah. But they're still lovely in a certain sense.
Yeah.
Drinking style. So, folks.
I have a question, too. So, we've talked about what the Sangiovese brings, what the Merlot may or may not show. What does the Cab bring?
Well, the Cab's supposed to bring body.
Mm-hmm. But it's not that full-bodied. It's medium.
No. And a little bit of tannin.
At most, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sometimes your Italian Cabs are not as
big.
They just aren't as full-bodied.
No.
They're just not. And most of the Italian ones, okay, not most, but in a Chianti style, you're typically not having this big full-bodied thing anyway. Yeah. So they're going to use Cabs to maintain that similar style to this red blend as they would to just like a Chianti.
Would you all guess, without knowing, what, if I said there's three wines in this, would you have guessed those three?
Probably not.
No way.
I would have said Sangiovese, but after that I would have mumbled.
Yeah.
I know. Well, no, I probably would have said Cab, because normally there it's blunt with Cab, but I might have said a third wine.
I know, I would have... I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense, but I think I would have probably guessed Zen because it's so fruit forward.
Well.
But, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but I don't know what else I would have guessed. And then I think I would have followed up with, like, Petite Sirah because it's dark. I don't know what I would have guessed.
Primo Merlot Verdot?
Yeah. I don't know what I would have
guessed. Been muttering.
Sangiovese Cab, but I wouldn't get the Merlot.
Yeah.
Assuming I knew it was Italian.
I think it takes a more...
If you didn't know...
Delicate palate theory, than ours to have pulled the varietals.
And you wouldn't have been able to get past that? No,
I would have known it was Sangiovese. It can't be anything but Sangiovese.
Yeah. But I'm just saying you couldn't have guessed past that.
Not initially, no. Yeah. I would just focus in on the thing that's the most obvious, and it wouldn't have dawned on me initially that. But, I mean... Yeah. You sit back and think about it and drink it for a while, you'd say, well, there's something else in here.
That is a lovely glass of wine.
It is.
I like
it. Very nice.
I like it.
Not spectacular, but just lovely. Just a great little drinker.
There's a place in this world for just a lovely glass of wine.
There is.
That's a wonderful place to be, as Rob pours himself more. But you know what I'm doing? Mm. I'm going in on the 13.
And we're going to do that as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So we're going to move on to the 13 Gentine from Banffy. This one got
we're
many
so educated
awards.
Educated now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So fancy.
It got a 91, an 89, an 87, a unanimous gold, a silver medal, gold medal, Critics Challenge 87.
And some zeros.
And a lot of zeros. Yeah, that's right. Well, those are other vintages.
The 2013 got 10.
10.
Mm-hmm. This, oh.
Scott, wasting no time.
I know.
Hmm.
Oh.
Hmm. You know this is older.
You do know this is older.
First question.
Yes.
Would you know this was the same wine?
No.
No way.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No.
You know it's older. It's a bigger wine. There's more depth to it.
It is a bigger. It is.
It is slightly
bigger. It has more
bigger,
body.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know that's a product of the aging of it.
Right. No, this might just be vintage.
This was
same,
just.
Same.
This was just.
Look at all the awards it got.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to assume it's fantastic.
But, you know, this is a wine that doesn't taste spent. It, you know it's older. I don't know how much longer it has.
Right.
But it makes me see why someone foolishly might think that 2028 could be approached by the 17.
This is the thing. It's starting to show port-like characteristics on the finish. That does not denote of a wine that is ready for another 10 years.
Mm-mm.
That is denoting of a wine that you better drink that son of a bitch today, because soon it's going to be like a piano falling down the fucking steps. But still today, it is, I'm not going to say better than the 17, but it is better than the 17, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a better wine.
It is. You know what I immediately thought of? You know, when you have like a firstborn kid that goes through school and is like so smart and gets all these accolades, and then you have the younger brother or sister that comes through and they're like, oh, are you Scott's brother?
You mean like our children will be.
And then they're like, oh, you're going to be so great. And then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
There's not a comparison between the two.
This has, on the finish, it's showing leather and tobacco. First thing, this is a big medium body, where the other one is a light medium body.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's mouth coating. It's showing a little bit of vulcanized rubber, prune. A slight bit of chocolate, but bittersweet chocolate. Tobacco.
I think that prune goes with some, like, towards sweeter fruit. Like, maybe towards a blueberry there somewhere. Like a blueberry cobbler-ish blueberry. Like a sweet blueberry. It's right there with it.
I know I'm throwing people off when I say vulcanized rubber. That actually is a descriptor. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It's just, it's a nuance. It's not, it tastes like a fucking tire. It doesn't taste like a tire.
No, and it kind of sort of goes with petroleum.
a slight petroleum,
it's
whatever.
In that family of characteristics.
You know what I was just thinking, too? The 17 has almost like your tier one flavors, like your fruits. The 13 is where you get like your next level. You're getting your tobacco, your rubber. The fruit is there, but there's more depth to the flavors that you're tasting.
It's for a crappy little $12 bottle of wine. It's got some big boy flavors going on there. It's got
so are
some
you wanting
boy...
to just like shove this in Rob's face?
No.
No, I would never. I would.
Oh, you did that by just.
Never do that.
You didn't
because
do
you just
anything.
Did it for me.
You didn't do anything.
Remember
you would
when
just
you picked this up on closeout in the freezer aisle.
Yeah. That earlier in the episode, it might have been mocked
by Becky. No. Pig slop, she called it.
I didn't call it pig slop.
I actually don't.
This is
think
the first
so.
Time in a long time you haven't made me drink pig slop. I wish
wait
we had
next
scored
week.
The 17 and then the 13 because. I feel like my 17 review would have been very favorable, and it's still fine. But 17's
a good wine.
I know, but having the 13 and seeing what they can do out of this vineyard with these grapes.
But think of this.
Using the exact same process.
But the 13, though, the 17 will be something like the 13 eventually. That's a very astute viewpoint.
I see now. Why the speculator said good till 2028. I'm not sure it makes it there, but the way this 13 presents.
In 2022, it'll be. Yeah.
You think that this 17 is going to grow up to be the 13?
I think it could similarly age just because of what this 13 is.
Now, the 13 might be bigger.
It won't be the same. Mm. It's going to be something different, although we don't know.
I think
maybe it would be similar.
I think age the 17 and you lose some of it. I don't think you get to the 13.
I agree you would lose some of that. I agree you would lose some of the brightness of it. But what would be interesting to know is if when this 13 was young, if it was similarly bright to this 17.
Yeah. Well, what did James and the spectator say?
There was some description.
Well, James said it, yeah.
On the 13?
Yeah.
The balance to this wine is so delicious with dark berry, black currant, and lightly flowery aromas and flavors. Medium body, fine tannins, and a flavorful finish. Tangy and bright. A beauty.
Tangy and bright?
I'm a beauty. I was talking about myself.
But when he says it's a beauty, having drank this, I would agree.
She's a beauty.
It's a good wine.
One in a million.
Well, it's
you know,
a,
this is such an interesting one idea. In a million. To do the 13 and the 17 to see the impact that weather, all of those things make. Because, I mean, they just copy and pasted the way that they were made. So I'm assuming it's the same process over and over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two vastly different wines. Both great. 13 superior. 17 great, though. Truly great.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Good job, Banffy. Tip of the cap.
Tip of the... Oh, my God.
Yeah. See? It was a great idea. Who thought of this idea? You know. I don't know.
I thought you were going to sing a line from Moana. What can I say except you're welcome?
No. Never. No, I don't do Disney songs.
It's appropriate.
What I'm going to say, I like elements of the 17, and I like elements of the 13. I like... Well, first of all, the 17, as you'd expect, tastes a little fresher.
It's almost difficult to compare them because they really are pretty different.
It is, and it's interesting. You see the same general wine and how it changes, you know?
And folks, we talk about this all the time, you know. Have fun with wine.
Yeah.
When you're ready, pick some things to cellar and set back. And you don't have to... buy expensive stuff to do that.
Not always, no. You just have to know a little bit about what you're buying. I mean, you don't go out and buy Blackstone Merlot and say, I'm going to set this back.
And there's things...
that'll make people vomit. I mean,
mentioned Col di Sasso. We thought originally that would have a couple years, and it had a year. That's
I think this is a higher level. The Gentine is considered a higher level than the Col di Sasso.
Probably so.
But I wouldn't try to do this with Montantico or Vidiano. I wouldn't.
No.
But this, obviously, can be done. It's so interesting, though. I find it fascinating.
You know, maybe this gets back to one of Triple B's earlier questions. What do you expect out of the cab? What do you expect out of the Merlot? Maybe that's what gives it a little bit of ageability.
I don't know. Depends. You know?
You know, I would guess cab on the 13. I would get there. Because you have so much body, and you have some of those deeper flavors. I think I would say, I mean, knowing truly nothing, just trying to guess the components, I would guess cab on the 13 and Zen on the 17 because it's so much lighter on the 17.
Well, I would agree. The 13 is showing the cab. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to add a little more to my glass.
Would you know the 13 has Sangiovese in it?
Well, that's the thing.
I just pushed all my chips in so that I can get some.
This is the 13, you know.
It's a 13, don't you know?
It would be interesting to blind taste these and try to actually peg the 13 as to where it was, because it's so unusual in the fact that I'm just trying to think of some things that I've had that emulate this. I would probably be tricked and say Grenache.
Oh, you think you would?
Yeah. I would say Grenache. Partly because Grenache has such a chameleon kind of thing going on. I'd be wrong, obviously. I'd be wrong. But I would say Grenache. You don't have to say Grenache. I would say Grenache.
Grenache.
Even smells like a fucking Grenache.
Hmm. Grenache.
Smell it. I mean, that's what Grenache smells like. A slightly aged Grenache. You remember Clarendon Hills? I'm not saying this is Clarendon Hills. But the Clarendon Hills Grenache smelled this way. Well, better. But it smelled in this fashion. And it tasted a bit in this fashion as well. Mm. Just, you know, on every drug you've ever known to man, pumped up. Yeah. I think, you know what I'm saying?
I think you're on every drug known to man comparing this to Clarendon Hills.
I'm not. I'm saying that it emulates certain aspects of it. And it's a Grenache. This isn't a Grenache.
Yeah.
It's Australian. This isn't Australian.
The other thing I'm thinking about is how, for both of these, they said pairs with everything. That is not true of the 13. The 13 is not a seafood pairing wine.
No.
The 17, sure. 13, no.
Mm-mm. At Martini's, they do a short rib on polenta. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
But that lamb pepperdelli that we had. We did. Folks, if you know, there's an Italian winemaker named Gaggia. And Gaggia is wildly, wildly expensive. You know, their Barolos are $300. We had their Promise. Is that what it was? It's straight Sangiovese. Now, it normally comes about $50, $60 retail. No, we weren't buying. But we had that. And it was fine. But this would have been better.
That's funny you say that. Because we enjoyed
this
that.
This would have been better.
We enjoyed that. This would have been better.
This was better. Than that.
And this is was how much? $11?
Yeah, I think 12, yeah.
Well, everyone.
No,
so even if it was marked out. Up at a restaurant, it would be under 30.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny, like that, the Gaggia Promise, it was one of those things where it's like, everybody says it's great, so okay. Hey, guys, isn't this great? Because everybody told us.
This would be a delight with short ribs.
Oh, yeah.
We really enjoyed that. But.
This was better. This is better.
It was just it was young, you know, and we knew it would have been better if it sat for a little bit.
It sat. It was a linear Sangiovese.
It was, yeah.
What's going to be in 10 years? A linear Sangiovese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Basically, look at the Sangiovese. It tastes just like it did 10 years ago. It's aged. What? No.
This would
look at
better.
Me. I recently just bought a lot of Chianti Classicos that, you know, got high reviews. Whatever. No, well, not. Trouble is looking at me. Well, you know what I bought.
I know. Your mom knows what you bought.
That's true.
Tell them one of them. Tell them what your mom said.
Oh, she goes, these stories.
You don't drink all these things that you buy, do you? No.
Wait, what?
She said, you don't drink all these things that you buy, do you?
I think that she thinks when you get it in the mail, you go home and drink it right then. I'm pretty sure that's what she thinks.
Now, I told her I would say this on the show, and she said, don't you dare, because it's horrible. But she was talking about, I was talking about getting a dog in the spring, you know. She goes, don't get a male dog.
Why?
Because their penises are out all over the place, and you have to look at their penises. your children were sitting at the table. My dad's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you looking at the dog's dick? That's what I said. Okay. I said that.
Since you've embarrassed your mom, I'm going to embarrass you now.
I was like, don't look at the dog's dick. What?
So Henry was FaceTiming my mom tonight.
Nice.
And he goes, Nana, can I tell you a secret? And she's like, okay. And I'm like, oh, God. What's it going to be? And he goes, I saw my dad's butt crack tonight when he was brushing his teeth. That's what he told my mom.
I wasn't brushing my teeth tonight. I took a shower when they were in the bathtub.
I saw Dad's butt crack.
He might have been angry with me because William would throw something at him, because he threw something at William, and so William would say, "I'm sorry." He goes, "You did it on purpose." When William said he's sorry, so finally I said, "William, throw something at Henry, something big," and so he did.
He did. He threw a huge shark at him and pissed him off.
Yeah, and he missed him, but Henry's still crying. Henry got out of the bathtub and walked out naked and wet, didn't dry off his left.
Didn't even wash his hair.
It was hilarious.
It was
William and I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. Henry and I also played football today for about 3 hours. Literally. We played for over an hour at my parents. Then we played for two and a half hours here. Nice. And we tackle, and we do a little tackle, one-on-one football, you know, whatever. And then we just... I'll be the quarterback. He'll be the receiver. We'll run plays, go down the field. Then we'll switch. He'll be the quarterback. I'll be the receiver. Go down the field. Did that maybe 50 times today. Different plays. Nice. Fun. It is fun. He's actually good. So, and
is it going to be like Joe Flacco and tomorrow you're going to run injured reserve?
No. But he's not afraid of.
He's wearing Rob's football jersey from when he was like in third grade.
It was like my junior high practice jersey. That's what that was.
It was a belly shirt, right, when you wore it?
I don't remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was wearing my LU Liberty Union Lions shirt that I wore in the 80s yesterday to the mother son kickball tournament, and all of them were looking at it. It looks brand new. I mean, they made stuff out of asbestos and shit back in those days, and that stuff's made well. And yep, he's wearing all of my old vintage clothes. Well, it's kind of like what you are wearing, your vintage clothes, because they were in a Tupperware thing in your basement.
Yeah.
Yes, but that doesn't look as cool because yours are circa day 1997. You know, they're like Z Cavaricci. Nobody wears that anymore. And you're like, what?
I love Z Cavaricci.
I know.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like if I spray this, it'll turn different colors. When I get warm, it turns green. Right now it's yellow. It's awesome. Yeah, Z Cavaricci was like a faux designer when I was in like junior high.
Yeah, it was. Did you guys have the department store Watson's?
No.
We had that, and they sold Z Cavaricci jeans. And they were like, I don't know, probably $40 or $50. But they felt very expensive in the 90s.
My mother was telling me about Ollie's Bargain Outlet. You should go. Oh, they have wine there. I went, I don't want wine from Ollie's Bargain Outlet.
Yet we get wine from
Home Buys. Well, that's where we get the Centine. Yeah, we got the 17 Centine.
Wine snobs, and you wouldn't buy cheap wine.
Well,
look at this. Scott bought this from the grocery store clearance bin. What a delight it is.
In the freezer aisle.
Produce aisle.
That's right. I bought quite a bit of stuff from Home Buys yesterday. It was quite nice. A lot of the Domaine Lafarge. They make the Tessier. They make Bastide Malfours. And it's their Cuvée Nicolas, because Becky and I had that on Friday night. And, yes, good. Also, you said 15%. I didn't realize it was 15%, and I was like five glasses in, and I went, oh, no. Right. It's like, and I look at the bottle when you said that one, 5%.
fuck. Somewhere Stevie's tinging his glass and saying, yes.
I was like, what? Oh, shit. That's rattlesnake venom a little bit. No, it's not. It's actually glorious is what it is. Domaine Lafarge, folks. Look for their stuff. Old Vine Grenache. Exquisite.
Beautiful.
And home buys, $10.99. Wine.com, $20. But it's Becky said this is like $30. She thought it was a $30 wine.
Right.
And it's Grenache. And she hates Grenache. She loved it.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back with scores for the Gentine here.
Gentine.
On the wine board. And we're back, folks.
Splash more of the 13.
I can do that. Triple B needs more wine. She never gets refills. So, folks, we're going to go around the room. And we're first going to give a review to the 2017 Gentine. And then we'll go over to the 13 Gentine. We're going to start off with the Triple B.
Hold on. Let me taste this again.
Oh, sure. I always allow you to drink. Drinking's fine. Drinking's allowed on the wine vault.
I predict some conflict from the Triple B here. She's going to have some internal conflict over the 13 versus the whole 17 thing. So far away.
What's that have to do with anything? Slappy.
I do feel a lot of internal conflict. The 17 is truly a delight. It goes with everything. Very nice.
It's a good wine.
It is a good wine.
You can judge it on its own merit without thinking about the 13.
I know. It's just so hard now that we've had the 13.
Well, the 17 might be the 13 in 4 years.
Doesn't anybody?
It's not.
It might be.
You think that that 17 is going to all of a sudden develop tobacco?
Yes.
The chances of that are...
A lot. High chances.
I would say below zero.
It would be.
Absolute
so
zero.
Fun to see your face.
So, okay. So, something about the 13 is like it's huge. It has this great body. It has a lot of like bigger, deeper flavors. But the 17 really is the wine you could drink with just about anything.
True.
So, that is a bonus. It is a delight to drink. It's very cheap. I'm going to give it maybe an 80. Oh, I'm so torn. I think I would have gone with an 88 originally.
It's fine. I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. What's that Natalie Imbruglia song?
Yeah.
This is how I feel.
Yep.
It's the only time Natalie Imbruglia has ever been referenced.
Right.
Ever. And she was an Australian soap star, right?
I have no idea.
I think that's correct.
She was, yes. Well, I know the most about Natalie Imbruglia because
she
was.
You're a Fiona Apple fan.
I was.
Once a Fiona Apple fan, always a Fiona Apple.
I don't know that's actually true because she's a freaking weirdo.
Well,
you're the one who liked her.
Apple didn't fall far from the tree there.
That's not even funny.
It's just lame. It actually is.
It's not.
I'm so torn about my score. Okay, where
doesn't
are you doing?
Help to know.
Are we just scoring the...
Just the 17.
I'm going to actually look on
I'm also
iTunes.
An 88. That's exactly where I was at. It's a wonderful, easy drinker. one of the things that I love about it is just that light acidity. That kind of pops there in the mid palate.
Beautiful fruit. Light tannins. I wouldn't quite call them dusty tannins, but you know there's some tannins there.
Yeah.
It's so hard because it's such like a light, bright wine.
It's bright. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful wine. And it's like maybe 88's a slight overscore, but I don't think so. I enjoy it. 88 points.
You be you.
I'm being me,
He's
babe.
Being a triple B.
Being me.
I'm going to give an 87.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it. I love it. I want more of it.
Yeah.
It also gets in the value price Hall of Fame.
I agree.
It definitely deserves that. And Centene, if I was up at Home Buys again, I'd get a couple more bottles of this.
Yeah.
I like it.
A couple more bottles of the what?
The 17.
Centene. Did I say the Centene?
Yeah.
Well, a Centene. You have to make the Centene.
Yeah, you have to do your hands.
Centene. Italiano.
It's funny. We've been talking about this second bottle,
Pizza.
And it's been Centene. It's definitely been Centene.
Centene.
Until tonight.
Centene. I know. I don't know. Well, Centene. There's no CH in that fucker.
No.
Speak American, damn Italian.
American.
No Centene.
Oh, no H in there.
All right. Well, now, though, on to the 13. Centene.
I just want to say one last thing about the 17. I couldn't recommend a wine higher for our listeners.
I agree.
Except for the 13. This is,
which you're not going to find. But
slow down.
But it's off the chart on drinkability. Mm-hmm. It's probably on the drinkability scale.
Oh, yeah.
It escapes me something that's even comparable to the level of drinkability that sucker has.
In fairness, many things escape you, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Let's just skip past that.
Doesn't help to know you're so
The far description, who wrote that?
I did.
No, I'm trying to remember who said it was bright.
James. Not the Pinophile.
But it really is. And it is such a compliment to it. You can't often say that about a red wine.
I said that. That's the first time someone's ever complimented me.
We mock James Suckling a lot.
Including my mother.
His review on that was spot on.
It was.
It was brilliant.
If you gave me a chance, you would know that I'm exceptional.
You know something? We talk about drinkability a lot, but reviewers don't.
I have high drinkability.
Yeah, you're high, all right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm very drinkable.
But... Why is that? Why don't reviewers discuss the drinkability?
I know, and people think
term.
Because it's impossible to drink that, it means it's good or better.
But
to them, a wine that shows that a 94 is drinkability. See, I mean, they're not going to say it's cheap and cheerful. Cheap and cheerful actually is a better review for most people. But
true.
I mean. So, they're not going to say this wine sucks, but you can drink it. I mean, they don't have the 3 or 4 bottle review that the superstar has. I can drink
I can drink 3 or 4 bottles of this tonight. Yeah, it's great.
We need to get back to that, too.
I can do that.
How many bottles a night is that?
Well, I can drink like 4 bottles a day.
So, let's do that.
Drink like 10 cases.
How many bottles?
Can't drink for 6 weeks because of my liver, but I can do that.
For the superstar, God rest Ray Gibson Sr.
That's true.
I would say this is a 4 bottle.
I can drink like 5, 10, 25 bottles of this.
You could drink a glass and not even know it.
So, how many bottles of the 17 could you drink in a night?
It's borderline dangerous because you drink it and you're like, oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's true.
And it's sometimes when you drink a full-bodied wine that has a lot of tannins, you can't just sit and drink and drink and drink.
Absolutely.
Well.
The 17, man. No, but sometimes, like with the 13, I've had to take sips of water with it.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. No, exactly. It's a sound point.
But the 17...
You can pound that sucker, man.
Oh, my gosh. And this is...
3 or 4 bottles.
This is the wine that you have somewhere where people keep refilling your glass, and you don't even know. That's what this 17 is.
Mm.
This is for the dinner party where...
The keys in the basket?
The keys in the basket. Not only that, you know, it's...
it's the group of friends you really like, and you're like this. This thing.
Huh.
This is not the dinner party where it's like, oh God, they're here. Let's not break. It's
right.
Break out the fisheye.
Yeah.
It's Miami for them.
It's the night when everyone is there to have a good time. Yeah.
Apparently that involves keys in a basket, Scott's house.
And it's a good marbles wine.
Hello.
Hello.
Not if you want to win.
That's true. Fair.
Mm. On to the 13.
On to the 13. The triple B.
I don't recall a time where we all loved them, where we all just had kind of lower hopes on something.
Just love this
for a crappy little wine.
Especially on the first wine of the night.
Fair enough. Well,
you all have made me drink some disgusting stuff.
I never pick slop. I never pick them.
You don't know what we're drinking from the second one. Oh my gosh. Scott, when was the last time you had Pride Cabernet? Oh no.
Can you find like the 14, 15, 16s of this? I know.
Right? No. Right.
You shouldn't be able to find a 13. Yeah.
So I gave the 17 an 87.
Mm hmm. No, you gave an 88.
Oh, I gave it an 88.
Yeah, I gave an 87. Keeping it real.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. I almost wish I'd given it an 87 because I'm trying to decide. Mm. Okay, I'll give this a 90 then. This is a 90 because it is your higher level tier flavors. You're getting your tobacco. The body is huge. I really, really love that the cab really comes through on this. And that there's enough. I don't know. I love a wine that's like chewy enough with the tannins that you're drinking water with it. I love that.
Yeah, it has that.
Yeah, and
it's nice in an Italian to have that.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 90. I guess you can't find it anywhere, but it's fantastic.
That is good. It is. I just had another sip, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Go ahead, Scott.
So
there's like a half of a glass left.
No.
I was going to be the Russian judge and go 89. Fuck it, I'm going 90. It is. Yeah. It really is nice.
That's such
you just
a good wine.
And it, you know, maybe if this was a $40 bottle of wine, I wouldn't give it a 90. So maybe I'm cheating a little because it is only $12. But this is a good wine. And what is so nice about this that the second you put this in your mouth, you know it's got a little age on it, and it's nice. One of the things that it's nice, the little age as you put this in your mouth.
Yeah, please don't ever say put this in your mouth, you know.
No, because one of the great joys of doing this show is where Rob and I are opposite each other aside his bar that he's built, and we get to see each other's reaction. And yeah. I tasted this before anybody else, and I kind of withheld my expression on it just to see what everybody else was. And I was looking at Becky, and you know, my eyes were dancing between the two of them, and then I saw the hint of recognition in Rob's face. And it's always fun to see that. It's just because, you know, we do enough of these things that are pig slop, as Becky's work, or dog shit, or pieces of shit, whatever. Well, and this was just a great, brilliant little surprise.
Are we really good.
Are
we still complaining about the Halloween episode or the $5 challenge? Are we really complaining about those things still?
Well, that you haven't complained about it yet, but
okay.
I think Becky's not complaining about that specifically. Pig slop refers to about every first episode we do.
It does. Like most of the wines, we like barely even make it through a glass.
Oh, we've had some bad ones.
Not on the second episode.
We're doing that on purpose a lot of times.
Then this is what happens. The first one of the night, I'm like 10. It doesn't even matter what we scored. It's horrible. Then I go upstairs. For the listeners that don't know, I go upstairs. Rob and Scott do another bottle. Sometimes I'm still awake. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes Rob will wake me up.
That's true.
and be like, oh my God, it was a Hall of Fame wine. We gave it a 92. I'm like, that's so funny because I gave our first wine a 12. How many times has that happened?
She's talking about Poggio El Tufo.
Well,
that's really good, by the way.
Look at it this way. He didn't do this on purpose because he didn't expect these to be this good.
He thought that we were going to drink two bad bottles.
In fairness, though, often I buy it later and you drink it later. Like the Sasso. You just had that. You liked it. But
you definitely thought we were drinking two bad bottles of wine.
That's Sasso?
Not necessarily.
Triple? That bottle of Sasso? How much of it did you get and how much did he drink?
Nah, I drank a lot more.
Yeah, he's making out like, yeah, I buy that good bottle of wine for you.
Right.
Yeah,
then occasionally I'll be like kind of asleep, kind of cracked out, and he'll be like, I've already brushed my teeth. Becky, drink this wine. Becky.
I did that with the Percocet and she wouldn't drink it.
Yeah, I'm like, I just brushed my teeth. It's going to taste disgusting.
Well,
yeah.
The Percocet would taste delicious regardless. But it's on to me, folks.
Okay.
And if you could know what Russian sounds like, then you'll know my score, comrades. Oh, my gosh. And 290s? You guys are crackheads, I swear to
God. You give it at the lowest an 89.
No, I'm giving it a 90. It's a 90.
He's not good at that.
I know. I couldn't. How am I going to mask that? When you drank it, you go, oh, shit, that's really good. The Poggio da Tufo, I don't know if that's aired when we'd read it. Probably not. It won't air because this will go on before. But this wine on the finish has such a wonderful expression of the tannic Cabernet.
Yeah.
That it's just a marvel in a certain sense. And you look at it, this wine was not treated well. It's been treated well for the last maybe like 5 or 6 weeks here in the wine vault. Prior to that, it was sitting at a damn grocery store upright.
On a shelf upright for a long time probably. Yeah.
It was not treated well. And so when you consider that, you go, holy shit, this wine really is a survivor. I wish there were more. I mean, I'm sure there was more than one Gentine that was sitting in that shopping cart Scott didn't buy.
No, I don't think so.
How much did you get mocked?
Not horribly bad. Little bit.
But it had
all
slightly.
Our listeners need to do is go back to the beginning of this episode.
And our listeners know how much I'm mocked on the show by Rob. It relatively
rightfully
is a small
so.
Mocking.
That's true.
Rightfully so that they listen.
Well, I didn't say that. That's rightfully so, and they listen. No. But this is a Hall of Fame wine.
For sure. At $10.
Yeah. A Hall of Fame and value-priced Hall of Fame. That's
this
pretty cool.
This wine tonight is why we do the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We love to share budget and entry-priced wines.
Banffy, by the way.
Fucking tip of the cap, hell,
bravo!
And I almost
well
am like,
done.
We very rarely find something that shocks us.
Well, in the second episode, we get shocking things. Often they're from Australia, and we are shocked to the point where we would just want to barf,
or because we're drunk and we say shocking things to each other mostly. But
by the way, Peter Lehman, I'm out to get you. You make shitty wine. Assholes.
But we thought he made good wine.
Got a 92. Fuck you and your 92.
Yeah, it was awful.
Fuck you and the horse you rode in on with your 92. I agree with a lot of the things that I don't actually, because San Diego Wine Challenge was the closest on the 13. They gave it an 89, but that was in what, 2014 probably, when they were 15. Sommelier's Challenge, wrong. Although Riverside International Wine Competition, it got a unanimous gold from the chair and got the chairman's award, so that's probably equivalent to a 90, right?
No, they were doing shots.
The Critics Challenge, fuck you, Critics Challenge.
Where was Riverside Challenge at? It was freaking the Muskingum River,
Scott.
Riverside the River,
Riverside what? International.
What river?
Wine competition.
Yes, what river?
What river?
Yeah.
What's the importance of that? What
the locale.
The river. What river?
Was it El Paso?
It might have been. What the hell's what? Fuck you. One river is the same as the next. What the hell?
Down by the river.
I don't know what river. I assume it was what was a wet river? I don't know. Are there rivers in California? I assume there are.
Rivers of fire right now.
Amazon River, perhaps.
Holy shit.
It was on the Nile. It was actually in Egypt, which is unusual considering they can't drink. But still, it did quite well there.
Wine country, we're praying for your safety, that's for sure.
That's right. Well, we got emails from a lot of different wineries that said that they're all safe.
Yep. I hope.
That's right.
It's rough times, man. It is. It's freaking crazy.
That's a dry area, though. When we were out there, it was dry. Mm. Just dry. It's like Scott's wit. It's very dry.
Very dry.
So, folks, the 17, an 87, 288, a value price Hall of Fame, and then the 13, $390s,
yep,
a Hall of Fame. Good job, Bamfy, although I don't think you really care.
We don't often all give the same score, do we?
Yeah, it's a 90.
It does happen, though. Yeah. Rob and I line unusually a lot on some stuff, but let's face it, your palate is aligning with ours, and we're doing this that's better, scary. And this was a good job. You're doing great.
Yeah. Bravo.
Tip of the cap to Becky.
Well, one of the things I'd like to point out, you know, we've talked about our journey doing this show, and off air, I think we mentioned that a wine that had leather and tobacco, Triple B would have made a sticking a finger down her throat, I'm going to vomit sign.
And we would have pretended that we liked it. That we would have liked it.
But you embrace that now. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with liking or disliking any different characteristic in a wine, but it's just a sign of growth in your wine journey. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, Scott, we did Luis Bernard's Côte de Rhum Village. And that was the first foray, I think, we had gone into French wine, I think.
That might have been our first French wine on the show.
We were doing mostly Cali shit. And it was just like an old friend. And I think I said that. An old friend was visiting. And we never stopped. So we've done obscure shit ever since then.
Yeah, and it's fun. Folks, it's fun. And that's one of the things we encourage. To try different shit. And it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yep.
Do what we do. We freaking fuck around on the internet. Look on wine.com. Look at different sources. And see what the reviews are.
All I know is we're going to need a bigger wall. The Hall of Fame. I'm running out of space. Value Price Hall of Fame. I never really thought about it. I got to move our scoreboard because I need that room.
Yep.
We're running out of room. There's just too many good wines. That's all right. That's not a problem to have, is it?
No. Is that or we drink too many wines? And there's another name for that.
You know, if my mother saw that wall, she'd be very upset. Did she drink all these wines? No.
You make your mom sound like she's a drunk.
She's so stressed out.
You don't drink all those wines that you buy, do you? Eventually.
She gets so stressed out, but she often shares the wine ball on Facebook.
It's true.
That's what I'm like. Oh, she listened.
Does she listen to it?
No.
I mean, I don't care if she does, quite frankly. But
I don't think she knows how to listen to podcasts.
That's true.
My mom listens.
But she does. Your mom
Sweet Tooth
does? Yeah, she does.
That's bad.
Shout out.
Because I say a lot of disgusting things.
Yeah.
Not that I want to.
You're a disgusting man.
I have to. And by the way,
I get criticized for wearing a George Clinton t-shirt because Sweet Sue's here and you say disgusting things on
the air. I have to tell a story. So Sweet Sue, my mom is truly a saint. This past week, she broke her leg in two spots.
She's
tibia and fibia.
Yeah.
It was an awful
gnarly break through her skin. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Rough.
So I'm down in Kentucky with her. We're in the hospital room. Her orthopedic surgeon comes in to check on her. And I talk to him about her coming to stay with us for a while. And what does he think? Is she up for the journey? How long do we need to wait on this? That kind of thing. He says, just really depends on how much you like your daughters, if you want to go back to Columbus or not. And he goes, I could discharge you to Columbus, but just tell me what you think. And she doesn't say a word about me and my sister, but she says, I do love my son-in-laws.
Oh.
That was a burn.
That's right. Well, luckily, she has, to be truthful, here at the house, Henry and William would be like, Nana. Are you okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Nana,
Nothing would make their lives better.
Nana, what do you need? I get that for you. Even William.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'd be like, I saw Nana's.
Nana, you want a Gatorade?
Nana, what you need?
Nana, you want some animal crackers? Nana, you want a cereal bar? You want some Lucky Charms?
To motivate them into action, just that.
Oh, my God.
Just like a switch flips. And they're like, oh, we're concerned human beings now. I was like, really?
William calls her cast a cactus.
Yeah. That's funny.
So cute.
He knows what it is. He just thinks it's called a cactus.
It's so cute.
Yeah. And yesterday, it was hilarious. William's laying on the couch because I had William and Luke. And then today I had Henry and Luke. But William's laying on the couch under a blanket. And Luke is standing there. And he has William's shoe. And he takes the shoe. And he hits William in the head with it. For fun. And William's just laying there. And he kind of looks up like this. With like a little snarky smile. Like, I can't really do anything. Because if I push Luke, my dad will clobber me into existence. And just obliterate me. So there's nothing really I can do about this, Mm-mm. is there? And so then Luke just takes the shoe and throws it at William's head, hits him in the head. And William doesn't react at all, just pretends like it doesn't happen. I went, William, you don't have to let him hit you in the head with your own damn shoe. And he just goes and grabs the shoe from him. And Luke, he starts crying. It's like, Luke, you were beating the man with his own shoe. He's allowed to take it from you. He's not allowed to hit you with something, but he's allowed to take the shoe.
This is an early warning sign that Luke may have some William in him.
Yes. William and Charles Manson. Yes.
This may be an early warning sign that it may be on.
It's too late. We know it's on.
You think it's on?
Oh, it's on.
Luke versus William, you think it's on?
No. Luke versus me.
Luke versus you?
Yeah, he attacks me.
Yeah, you're going to lose, son.
I am. Especially, I had to fight all three of them the other day. That did not go well. I just realized the best choice is to curl up in a ball and wait for it to end. I meant life, not the attack.
Hey.
So, hey, well, one or the other. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Shout out to Cuz. It was his birthday this week. Cuz, a dedicated listener. We love you.
Oh,
hopefully, you know, if we don't make Penn State this year, we'll see you soon.
Well, Scott loves Penn State. He's a Penn State fan. You were emotional when Penn State lost Ohio State last year.
Did you buy a Penn State shirt while we were at the Ohio State game?
I was doing laundry.
Yeah, there's that shirt again.
It just says State on it.
It says State. It's a white medium.
Blue and white.
Medium. That's all they have.
It's a white and it has a navy State on it.
It was very
tight.
But
I was doing the laundry like 2 months after you all went. Like, mm-hmm. It was not immediately in the laundry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did this even come from?
Yeah.
And it was very tight.
And Rob was so, he was like, mentally, he was like, I'm going to buy this tight shirt so I can impress these college girls, right? But then it was like,
no,
Scott,
you didn't.
It was a little like Spanx. It was Spanx.
Do you think I should buy the medium or the extra large?
They didn't have an extra large.
In defense, they didn't have a large.
They had one shirt. It was a medium.
No, they had a extra large and a double extra large.
I could have fit the extra large back, double extra large back in those days. It still would have looked like this medium. I remember how much I weighed. Jesus, that was pre-keto, baby. I got back and went, I ate too much salt and my ankles were swollen. I went,
There was others of us that had
fatty 2x4.
There were others that had injuries on that trip.
I was going to say,
that
I feel rough. Like a lot of salt rough was the trip. Least of your worries on that trip.
I remember thinking.
Grilled brownies?
Yeah.
Broken grill.
Good thing that was not a 6-day trip or I would have been dead.
Yes,
we would have been dead.
We had a newborn and I would have been raising him as a single mom.
That's a sign that it was a good trip.
We should have done one this year.
Yeah, I will do one next year. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, the Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.